Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome once again to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. My name is Skip Lacombe. It's Wednesday. That means it's Waiver Wednesday, and it's the final waiver report as we bring in Mike Jones. Mike, how's it going?
Well, good, good. Just have been monitoring the fantasy suicide hotline all week with all the owners of Adrian Peterson last week who played in their championship games. And when Adrian Peterson caught that pass and ran for for about 20 yards, they won their league, and then he fumbled it and they lost their league. It's just amazing to me how many people had the same exact scenario where the catch and the run put them 1 point ahead and win their championship, and the fumble lost them 2 points, and they have a losing by 1 point. So
yeah,
just crazy stuff.
I ended up taking your advice too, thinking Larry Johnson would be able to put up some points against his old team, and sat my good friend Cadillac Williams.
Oh, well, yeah, you don't want to ever start sit a feature back, especially for that kind of situation. But, yeah, it wasn't really a recommendation to bench Cadillac Williams. But that was actually kind of a situation, for what it's worth, that Derek Anderson went out with an injury in that game,
uh-huh.
with a knee injury. And so Cadillac Williams ended up getting twice the workload he usually gets. But, she had a gutsy performance. And
that's why you log in on Sundays, right?
Say that again?
And that's why you log in on Sundays.
Right, right. So, that's how it goes. And, fantasy is a little, there's a lot of luck in it. There's no doubt about it. There's a story from the Rapid Draft League that there are. They were going for the $250,000 this last week, and the guy would have won it except for the Derek Mason had the pass that bonked off his face mask wide open in the end zone, and he dropped the ball, and the guy lost $250,000 because of it. So all you people out there that lost your little Yahoo League because of this or that, $250,000 because Derek Mason doesn't concentrate on bringing a ball in, that's a rough one to go with.
That's a big one. Well, a lot of people will have their championships this week, and we do have some matchups we want to go into. An interesting week in the NFL, so let's get right to some of the matchups you're talking about. Some of the trouble spots you're noting first. Let's go ahead and start with the Indy-Buffalo game.
Sure, and as Jim Caldwell and company have shown, they don't care about your fantasy team. So Tony Dungy tradition and that week 16 or 17, you might be in the fantasy playoffs. You might be in the fantasy championship game, and they just don't care. And that's really, there's mean like that. But looks like that coming up this week, they'll be at Buffalo. Should be pretty tough conditions, so I don't see any reason for except for Peyton Manning to go out there and continue his start streak and keep that going. They'll be playing too much this week. And, obviously we'll see quite a bit of Curtis Painter. And Donald Brown had a good week this last week. We did predict that one in the waiver wire call last week that, this would be the week that they would get Donald Brown, get him going and get him ready for the playoffs. And he had a pretty, decent game as far as, touches go. And he did score a touchdown and didn't get a whole lot of yards, but at least he had he did get the looks and he did get a touchdown. So we expect him again to have another good week this week against the worst run defense in the league in Buffalo.
On Curtis Painter, is he possible to maybe pick up in case you do have Peyton Manning on your team?
It's better than a zero, probably, I guess, But, if I had Peyton Manning, who knows, maybe you'd want to start Peyton Manning. Maybe a quarter of Peyton Manning is better than, three quarters of Curtis Painter. But Buffalo does have one of the best pass defenses in the league. Right there with the Jets and the Giants. So wouldn't expect a whole lot. I'm sure Reggie Wayne will be sitting out, and Pierre Garçon is already out. So we should see – this should be the Hank Basket show for the Indianapolis Colts, and I'm sure his wife Kendra and their newborn are on the cover of all the tabloid magazines. And, of course, his wife, the ex-Playboy Bunny, and they had a little TV show about him. But Hank Basket should have an opportunity to play this week along with Austin Colley.
Hank Basket, a New Mexico Lobo, actually, too. And
there you go. Absolutely, yeah.
I know you're big on the college game, and I'm being from Albuquerque, certainly.
No, I am. That's right. I remember we liked those little shows, and it was fun to watch him go home and meet the parents in New Mexico, and he was quite the legend when they went back to his hometown.
Absolutely, absolutely. The next matchup we see is some trouble. Another team that doesn't really have anything to play for is San Diego hosting Washington.
Sure, and so there it is. And one guy who always seems to put up a, you know, we've been talking about a lot of these names that are coming up right now. You remember we started talking to them about them, you know, 5-6 weeks ago. They're saying that, you know, there's going to probably come a point that these guys are going to have an opportunity to produce, and this could be the week for Billy Volek, who is always, you know, when he's gotten the chance to play, has always put up pretty big numbers. And I'm always kind of wondering, I guess he just, hey, I mean, how can you beat that job? You know, living in San Diego, probably making mid six figures, you know, $500,000-$600,000 a year in this economy, to just stand there and basically hold a clipboard and maybe signal plays. And, you know, boy, it doesn't get much better than that for a whole season. But he'll have to maybe go out, you know, you would think he'll have to go out there and earn a little bit of his paycheck this week. San Diego wrapped up the number two seed, nothing to play for at all. Definitely, I don't think we'll see any of LaDainian Tomlinson. It would make any sense to run him out there. Anybody who's banged up, they should get a chance to rest this week. And plus, then they also have another first-round bye, so really 2 weeks of rest. I would expect San Diego to treat this game much like Indianapolis would, where you'd be getting Phillip Rivers. Just keep the routine, keep everybody going, get a, you know, treat it basically like an exhibition game where you get a couple of series in and get these guys out before they get hurt.
All right, our next matchup, once again, New Orleans already clinched clinched a playoff berth. They can clinch the number one seed with a Minnesota loss, so not a whole lot to play for them either. What are your thoughts about this game?
Yeah, that already happened. Minnesota did lose the Bears, so there it is. So the Saints have clinched the number one seed, so they have nothing to play for at all. The only thing there is you get a feeling that the Saints are not exactly on a high note right now. Lost a couple straight games, especially last week to Tampa Bay. You know, I think it's a letdown for New Orleans, but the, you know, fact was all they had to do is beat Tampa Bay and they clinched the number one seed. They got somewhat fortunate that Minnesota lost to Chicago. So, you know, they're having some issues right now. A big issue is they're having trouble stopping the run with their, you know, their stud defensive tackle Cedric Ellis not in the lineup. The secondary showing a little bit of age, and the offense, maybe some people are trying to figure some things out with them. They've been such a big play offense all year, but a big issue that happened that with the Tampa Bay game was Pierre Thomas went out early with some rib issue, with some issues, and he had 6 carries for 60 yards. He was on his way to a big day. So they'll give him a couple weeks to get healed up. Don't see any reason, again, for the Saints, even though they haven't been winning, to be really putting anybody at risk in this situation. Carolina playing some of the best defense in the league right now. You know, Carolina reminds me of one of those couple teams in the NCAA, like Stanford or something like that, that, you know, nobody really would want to, or TCU, nobody would really like to be playing right now, and they're lucky they're not, you know, going to be making the playoffs. And Carolina playing at a very high level. Unfortunately, they lost Steve Smith, their star wide receiver. So that offense for Carolina is going to be having a tough go of it, especially the passing game. When you have 36-year-old Musi Muhammad being your number one wide receiver, Dwayne Jarrett might be the number two wide receiver. Maybe Kenneth Moore, Wake Forest grad, might be playing at the number three receiver. And so for New Orleans, it just looks like, again, we might be seeing Mark Brunell, a name that we've talked about before. Looked very good in the preseason. Can't see any reason they're going to put Breeze out there for too long in this game. I expect Mark Brunell to come in and play the majority of the game.
All right, too. Our next matchup should be an interesting one as well, as Houston, a must-win if they want any chance at the playoffs. They'll be hosting New England. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, you know, one name I did forget to mention, the New Orleans-Carolina game, I'm sorry to just backtrack for a second, was Linnell Hamilton, running back out of San Diego State, who's had some spot duty this year. Again, with Pierre Thomas hurt, probably going to rest up some of Mike Bell. No reason to put out Reggie Bush a whole lot this week. I would expect, you know, Linnell Hamilton has gotten some rushes this year, and I would think this is going to be the week to just pound him 20, 25 times. They don't have any reason to save him for the future. So Linnell Hamilton, another play you might want to look at picking up for the Saints. As far as New England-Houston goes, the main issue here is not really so many issues per se. It's an interesting spot because New England, Bill Belichick has already come out and said that, you know, it's very much all systems go. They need to win this game to secure the number three spot. And Houston playing at home, they've got to play. They've got to win to have any chance of the playoffs. So I think it's going to be a great matchup and very interesting if New England happens to lose this game. A lot of playoff dominoes have a chance to fall in some very unusual situations. So all systems go for New England. All systems go, obviously, for Houston. And I expect another week of Arian Foster. As long as he holds on the ball, I'll have another pretty decent week for the Texans.
All right, our next matchup should be also a good one. Minnesota will be hosting New York. As you know with them, a proud bunch. They're out of the playoffs, but I'm sure they'd like to end their season on a high note after that embarrassing loss last week. What are your thoughts?
You know, the thoughts here is yes, they are obviously a proud bunch. Tom Coughlin is, in my opinion, a great football coach. Hard to understand. You know, they've lost so much leadership, especially, you know, with Antonio Pierce. And but something weird is going on that team where they've treated some of their star players. And I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but there seems to be some type of discord in the Giants locker room. But the one constant there is that Eli Manning is a fierce competitor, in my opinion. He has the weapons around him to do well. Hakeem Nicks, Steve Smith is another very proud player. Kevin Boss has been playing some good football. Mario Manningham is making plays. They will not have Brandon Jacobs this week, and hey, maybe that's a positive. Brandon Jacobs, you know, sometimes doesn't bring everything to the table that you would think a guy his size does. And so Ahmad Bradshaw, one of the real warriors of the NFL, will be starting it at running back. And if you're really desperate for some fantasy points, you might want to take a look at Gartrell Johnson. One of the top players of the Big West Conference this past year out of Colorado State to start off with San Diego Chargers, drafted him in the fourth round. You thought, well, maybe here's the heir apparent to LaDainian Tomlinson. Johnson had a huge game in a bowl game last year, and you thought that, maybe this is going to be a good spot for him. But, Chargers are just so deep, so talented. Really didn't have a spot for him, tried to sneak him onto the practice squad, and the Giants snapped him up. Had him on the practice squad for a little bit, and with some injuries, he's passed Danny Ware on the depth chart, and it looks like Gartrell Johnson, will definitely get some play here this week against Minnesota. And as far as, with Eli Manning, he is nursing a foot injury. He is a tough kid. But, I'm a 49er fan, and I watched in horror starting, Frank Gore as my running back one the week that they played Minnesota, and Frank Gore went out after one carry, and that was brutal. So that Metrodome turf is very tough on joints and ligaments, and if there's any kind of issue with Eli Manning, you might want to be on the lookout for that and try to find another quarterback if you can.
All right, next matchup we're taking a look at is Cincy versus the Jets. We're at the point in the season, obviously, where all these games are very important in terms of playoff implications. This one's no exception.
Well, the issue here is that you have to make a decision, and you have to kind of figure out the timing of that decision, because this game is totally predicated on what happens in the New England-Houston game. Because if Houston beats New England, then Cincinnati has everything to play for. They have the number three seed, and they would be playing the number six seed. And then, obviously there'd be some home field ramifications going forward if one of the one or two seeds, happen to lose. So, this is a big game if New England loses. If New England wins, this game is absolutely meaningless for Cincinnati, and it means everything in the world to the Jets. So the Jets have to win to get in. They win and they're in. So all hands will be on deck for the New York Jets. But if that does happen, if New England does win the early game, Cincinnati playing in the late afternoon game, then you won't see any Cedric Benson. Probably see very minimal of Carson Palmer, not probably a whole lot of Ocho Cinco either. And so if that does happen and you do have Larry Johnson, you might, if you are in a Week 17 championship league, I would expect Larry Johnson would get the bulk of the carries in the game, even though it's a tough matchup. I'm not sure how well he'll eat, the Bengals will do anyway against really one of the top defenses of the league, of the New York Jets.
All right, another interesting matchup that has lots of implications I can't even understand is Arizona versus Green Bay. Go into the numbers on this one.
Well, the thing about this game is if Minnesota loses, it's really pretty simple. If Minnesota loses and if Philadelphia loses, Arizona wins, they're the number two seed. They get the first round bye, and they're the number two seed. And so if Minnesota loses, then Arizona has everything to play for. And they need to get their first line of players out there and try to get a win and then hope for Dallas to beat Philadelphia. If Minnesota wins, this game is meaningless to Arizona. And you'll see Matt Leiner, you'll see Early Doucette and Jeremy Urban, and you'll probably see LaRod Howling-Stevens being the main ball carrier for the Cardinals. They had a game they could not move anywhere off the spot except being the number four seed as the NFC West champion. So that's the main ramifications here. The interesting thing is for Dallas is if Minnesota loses and Arizona loses and Dallas wins, Dallas gets the number two seed. So that Dallas-Philadelphia game is really going to be the game of the week and a really exciting game. Lastly on this whole thing is if Minnesota wins, if doesn't matter what happens in the Arizona-Green Bay game, doesn't matter what happens in and doesn't really matter what happens in the Philadelphia-Dallas game, that those two teams will probably be playing each other again the next week in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's another interesting side note to that. Taking a look at the rest of the schedule, next game we're going to be looking at Jacksonville at Cleveland.
Yeah, and again, Cleveland, with really the only thing to play for them is that they have an opportunity for the first time in their team's history since their reestablishment as an expansion team to have a four-game winning streak. So their team has been playing very hard for Coach Eric Mangini lately. Why? Who knows? I thought, it seemed like there was going to be a player revolt there when they were 1-11, but for some reason they've kind of started to put some pieces together. Interestingly enough, that started happening when Sean Rogers went out of the lineup. So their best defensive player, you would think that they would have no chance from there on, but they've kind of rallied. Actually it all started happening when Jamal Lewis went out of the lineup. So some of their main players went out of the lineup, and they've started kind of rallying. And Jerome Harrison, who we've talked about him all year long, I was totally perplexed at why he wasn't playing more earlier, and he's finally got a chance. And a week ago he broke the team record for rushing yards in a game of Jim Brown, and this past week he broke Lee Suggs' team record of carries in the game with 39. And so the one thing just to know is that teams do not give running backs who they have future plans for 39 carries in a game, really, especially after a week where they got 36 touches in a game. It just doesn't happen. Jerome Harrison is going to be a free agent in 2010 after this, 2009 season. So James Davis, interestingly, waiting in the wings, and it's going to be an interesting situation to see, not only what happens with the coach there in Cleveland in the offseason, but what happens with the feature running back. And Jacksonville, basically, they have to win to have, and five other teams have to lose for Jacksonville to have any chance. So you got to expect that Jacksonville is going to definitely go out there and try to give their best effort.
All right, our next game doesn't really have any playoff implications, but it should be one of the better fantasy matchups, as you know, and that's Chicago at Detroit.
Yeah, the best thing about this game is it's going to be in a dome. A lot of weather. You talk about Jacksonville or Cleveland. If you've anybody been watching Cleveland games, it's been just, they've been playing in hell, basically. Lots of wind, lots of some snow, just sub-frigid, temperatures, the wind whipping off Lake Erie there. Hey, Chicago, Detroit, it's in a dome, baby, And you're talking about two pretty bad defenses, especially, with some of the injuries that Chicago's been facing. They just lost Charles Tillman, who, I heard is still in the hospital. They lost two of their starting safeties. So, Detroit, they're playing at home. Probably won't be exactly a full stadium, but at least that, it looks like probably Dante Culpepper, so far is getting the early indications that he'll get a start. He's got Calvin Johnson to throw to. He's got Brian Johnson to throw to. Maurice Morris is, averaging 22 touches a game coming out of the backfield the last two starts he's had. So Detroit should be able to do something against this Chicago defense. And obviously Chicago should be able to do something against the Detroit defense. It's one of the worst in the league. And so if you've got, if you have the opportunity to get Devin Aromashadu, who we talked about last week and the week before, and I was really high on, it's just a rangy wide receiver out of Auburn, and he was just spectacular this last week against Minnesota, obviously catching the winning pass in overtime, just flying past Antoine Winfield. News came out that Winfield was still nursing a foot injury, and I'm sure that foot injury got a lot worse when he watched Aromashadu sprint past him for the winning touchdown. So, Aromashadu, averaging about 11 targets a game in the three games that he's started in the last three games. So Jay Cutler likes him quite a bit, and he looks like a legitimate wide receiver. It can be interesting to see what they do with Devin Hester when Hester comes back, because right now, you know, Aroma Shadu and Earl Bennett and Greg Olsen look like they have a really nice chemistry going with Jay Cutler.
All right. Our next matchup should be an interesting one, as both teams need a win to have any chance at the playoffs, and that's Miami hosting Pittsburgh.
Right, and, you know, the name – there's a couple names here. Pittsburgh, you know, everybody's pretty much accounted for. Nothing really there so much. But a couple names in Miami, you know, always kind of fly under the radar. They're usually out there on the waiver wire. Nobody thinks too much about Miami as being a legitimate fantasy team. But, boy, look at the stats. And Chad Henne is just throwing the ball around the ball field like he's, you know, Dan Marino squared. I mean, it's just as far as, you know, Dan Marino would throw for 400 yards, but he'd only, you know, need 25 passes to do it. You know, Henne's throwing the ball 50 times a game right now, and Ricky Williams had to leave the game last week with a shoulder issue, and Lex Hilliard came in, one of the great all time players out of Montana College, and great Division II player, and he was targeted 12 times with had 9 receptions. I'm sure that kind of flew into the radar with a lot of fantasy players, and had got high praise from the coach there, and so. We'll see what happens with the issue with it this week. They expect Ricky Williams back, but if he's just one play away from getting knocked back out, especially against a defense as physical as Pittsburgh, you might see quite a bit of Lex Hilliard this week. And the other name there, you know, Devon Best, is he on your waiver wire? He could be still, especially if you're playing into Week 17, but definitely proving himself to be a go-to receiver for Chad Henne. Double-digit targets in 3 of his past 4 weeks.
All right, interesting match for the next one. The St. Louis actually does have something to play for, and that's the number one seed in the draft. Talk a little bit about this one.
Right, and that you know, the main thing there is what's going to happen with Steven Jackson. Coach Steve Spagnuolo came out today and said he's a game-time decision. You know, I don't buy that for one second. I don't think Steven Jackson or his representatives would have let him put his career on the line in an absolutely meaningless game like this, especially in light of the Rams probably don't want him to play because they would like to have control of the number one pick in the draft. And usually that would be a huge, burden, for a team to have that. There's no, Peyton Mannings or anybody like of that nature out there in a lot of years. Excuse me, but this year there's a player that teams do want, and that's Ndamukong Suh, and the great defensive tackle out of Nebraska who's actually playing tonight. So if you want to see him in action, they have a great matchup this tonight against Arizona. So get a chance to watch Suh because he is the number one. I think he's going to be the consensus number one.
And Sue's been an incredible player this year. He's actually the first defensive player to have won an AP Player of the Year award, too. So Ndamukong Suh's been having an incredible year and is going to be highly coveted in the draft.
Exactly. And so what that means is that St. Louis can trade down. You know, most years teams can't trade down. Nobody wants any part of the number one pick. But I got to think that a lot of teams are going to be wanting Suh, and teams especially, you take a look at a team like San Francisco that's got 2 first-round picks. He's a game changer on the defensive line. The Rams need so much more than just a defensive tackle. They need a quarterback, basically. And there's some pretty decent quarterbacks that are going to be in this draft. I could see them trading down and really accumulating some draft picks. So I don't see any reason that the Rams are going to want to win this game at all. The other question, another player, if he's out there to look at, is Brandon Gibson. He's probably been snapped up, but, got dropped again as he was, out for a couple games. But, they're facing the Niners defense, is 30th in the league, allowing 279.1 passing yards on the road. But the other name that I'm kind of curious about is Frank Gore. How much the 49ers are going to really want to put Frank Gore at risk. He's been getting a lot of touches lately, and why put him at risk? It's not, not like you can win this game and it's going to make your season, and why not just go ahead and get him out there kind of in a ceremonial role and then get him back out there and let Glenn Coffey carry the load the rest of the way.
All right, a few more minutes to run through the last of the games. Next matchup, Atlanta at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, not too much going on here. Just, good effort from Tampa Bay. They've won 2 straight on a team, again, that looked like they were could have gone either way. Looked like Coach Raheem Morris might be on his way out. But they've rallied around him. They've had great things to say about Raheem Morris. And so they're playing very well for him right now. Nothing out there significant as far as a free agent goes. But Atlanta, again, if Jason Snelling or Jarius Norwood is out there, you desperately need something out of your, you know, flex position for week 17. And especially if Norwood's out there, you know, go ahead and pick him up. Tampa Bay last in the league, allowing 189.8 rushing yards a game at home. So you have to think that Atlanta's going to be able to get something done, especially looks like Tony Gonzalez with a calf injury left at halftime of last week's game. I would not expect him back in really a meaningless game at Tampa Bay this week.
All right, NFC East titles on the line as the Eagles host the Cowboys.
Right, not a lot of fancy things going on here, just a super exciting game. And everybody should be watching this one. A lot of things are on the line, and it's just, you know, Dallas out Philadelphia. It doesn't get too much better at that in the NFL.
All right, next up, Kansas City at Denver. Should be an interesting one as Denver can get into the playoffs, but they need a lot of stuff to happen.
And again, not too much going on here as far as waiver wire pickups go. Everybody's pretty much accounted for, and you know, Denver has a chance at the playoffs, but you know they need some things to really fall their way. They need the Jets to lose to the Bengals, and they need the Ravens to lose to the Raiders, or they need the Jets to lose to the Bengals and the Steelers to lose. They've got a lot of different scenarios. Basically, Denver has to go out there and win this game. If you have the Denver defense, probably a pretty good spot for them playing in Mile High against Matt Castle and a pretty porous offensive line.
All right, next up we got Oakland hosting Baltimore. Should be an interesting team as Oakland can only beat the good teams.
Exactly, and here comes a good team. And you have to think that those teams really probably spent the night before partying and writing a big W on their, you know, on their team schedule that's posted on their wall. And Oakland, you know, for whatever it's worth, they can play, you know, with some pride. Tom Cable is a tough guy, you know, whether you agree with him, his personal, you know, values at all, some of the issues that came out with him this year. You know, he seems to be a tough guy that gets their team to play fairly tough. They played good all year. They do have a great defensive secondary led by Nnamdi Asamoah. Richard Seymour is, you know, a proud defensive lineman. He's going to keep that defense in check. Kirk Morrison with a lot of talent in the middle as a middle linebacker. And, you know, they got rid of the cancer that was Jamarcus Russell, and it seems to have kind of turned the team around. Michael Bush, Darren McFadden doing a fairly decent job at the running back position. I'll tell you, the one thing that's really changed a lot of the dimensions of the team has been the return of Chaz Schilling, a second-year man out of San Diego State, great size. And he missed, you know, a lot of the early part of the season. He was looking to be a great sleeper wide receiver this year. Really, it's just recently, within the last, probably week 10, it started to, you know, kind of get it coming to his own. He returned to the starting lineup week 12, and, you know, averaging almost 7 targets a game since then. He's had, you know, a season-high 64 yards receiving last week. Week before, he caught 5 passes for a touchdown. And Schilling has seemed to kind of shift the dynamics of the offense and giving them a legitimate playmaker that can catch the ball when it's thrown to him. If you know, not like Darius Hayward Bay, who could not do that. So Schilling and Lewis Murphy, Zach Miller had 9 catches for over 110 yards this past week. And the Charlie Fry, you know, kind of led the team over through for 333 yards this past week against Cleveland. Unfortunately, threw 3 interceptions, no touchdowns. And so, you know, they get one of the best defenses in the league this week in Baltimore. So I think Baltimore's going to come in there. They've got something serious to play for. They win, they're in. It's going to be a tough day for Oakland, but there have been some tough opponents for Oakland, and they've come up with some huge upsets, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. And so it's going to be interesting, and Baltimore better not sleep.
All right, finally, last matchup we're looking at could be very interesting as Chris Johnson could break the all-time single-season rushing record with 230-some-odd yards.
Right, so it looks like 234 yards. So the thing about for Seattle, Aaron Curry out of the lineup for Seattle. So, you know, he's one of their best defenders, obviously one of the top picks in this past year's NFL draft. And so, you know, Chris Johnson had 3 30-touch weeks in a row. Last week he had a kind of a week off where he only had 24 touches. And the interesting thing about that was that he actually played in garbage time. San Diego was kicking their butts, and they actually kept Johnson in to keep going, end up with about 128 rushing yards. And so I look for him. He only needs 128 this week again to get 2,000. They will definitely get him that. But then he'll only need 106 more to break the single season record of Eric Dickerson of 2,105. So definitely a game to watch if you're looking to watch history and Chris Johnson make it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for the final waiver report. Me and Bob will be back on Friday for the final regular edition of the regular season podcast. This has been the FootballDiehards.com podcast.